Hello, welcome to the next podcast in my series, Teaching Humanity Remotely. I am Dr. Mindy Shaw, and it is a pleasure to be back with you. So before we begin, for those of you who have not heard the podcast yet, and even for those of you who have, I want to once again try to define what I mean by teaching humanity remotely. When I think about this term, I am sort of grouping three factors together. I'm grouping the fact that what I am trying to convey for parents at this time that their children are learning remotely, I'm trying to help parents teach their children daily social skills. I'm also wanting to ensure that children today, even though they're learning remotely, are growing in a healthy manner in the area of social emotional well-being. And the other component is I see this ability to grow socially and emotionally by having the ability to express one's feelings appropriately. So that's how I group that. Now, of course, other animals have feelings. Anyone who, you know, has a pet certainly understands that. But the unique quality that human beings have is they have words. So we have the ability as human beings to teach our children to make sure that they are expressing their feelings correctly by using their words. So that's sort of how I see that, right? So the three components again, having feelings and expressing them appropriately through using the correct words and actions, ensuring that our children are getting the opportunity, even though they're learning remotely, to have daily social interactions, and also making sure that we are helping our children to grow in the area of social emotional development. So I wanted to explain that, and I wanted to be very thorough and careful in that explanation. My intention in creating these podcasts is to be a support to families. As a mother myself, all I ever wanted from my community is support or neutrality, but no negative judgments. There's just no place for that. It takes a village, and it's time for us to show up for each other and help each other. I feel I have a certain expertise, and I also feel parents are their children's first teachers, and parents do so much for their children. But there's something healthy about having some separation, whether parents are working out of the house or children are attending a school. It's important for parents and children to have some separation. And I feel it's, as a teacher myself, I know that my daughter, she was a struggling reader. And I became a very excellent reading teacher, but not for my daughter because I was too emotional. As I said in an earlier podcast, I felt it was too personal. So having that distance, there's a saying that, you know, doctors shouldn't be taking care of their own family. And I think it's a similar thing. Now, of course, parents are teaching their children all the time. But I do feel that this remote learning certainly puts an extra burden and stress on parents. So again, these podcasts are created to ease that burden. That is my intention and that is my hope. And one way I think that can happen after listening to the podcast is what I think is needed is that every day the children are getting some sort of social interaction. So clearly, if they're not doing it with other children, they're going to have to be doing it with you. So when are you going to do that between all of your home responsibilities? Well, I think when you can do that is you can have dinner together. And at the dinner table, you can talk about all the various things that I have, you know, all the books that I've created, any subject. You could talk about a feeling, whether it's anger or happiness, feeling bad, lying, you know, whatever you need to talk about, whether it's the concerns that children have. And after you talk about it, then you can say, oh, let's read that book. And then that book has talking points. And then you can talk again and again about it. So today, we are once again having a guest reader. Her name is Christina DeGroat, and she is working with the preschool population. And today she's going to read one of my books called Anger. she's going to read the book, including the talking points and how her students benefited from the experience of that book, even though they're only 4 years old. So welcome Christina DuGroat reading the book Anger, written by Dr. Shaw and illustrated by Liana Shaw. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me back. I'm so excited to be here to read your book, Anger. Last time I was here, I had such a hard time choosing a book because they just all are so great and have such great messages for the kids. So since last time I was here, I actually have been able to use this book, Anger, in my classroom. So I'm really excited to read it to you guys and then be able to talk about how it was received in the classroom with all of my pre-K students.
Wow, I'm really looking forward to hearing that.
Okay, Anger by Dr. Mindy Shaw and illustrated by Leah Shaw. Now, when I read this book to my students, I didn't read the introduction, but I'm going to read it now. I think it's important for parents and educators to really read the introductions because Dr. Shaw includes such wonderful personal stories and how she's used these different strategies in her own classroom and how it's worked for her. Introduction. In my over 30 years as a teacher of children in the age range of 4 to 7 years old, I have come to observe an ever-changing world. Our new world encourages and supports very young children to utilize and enjoy technology. Although there is a useful place for technology, it certainly doesn't replace human contact. Additionally, many children don't have the luxury of being able to play outside and use their imaginations. We also live in a time when most parents have careers as well as their parenting responsibilities. All of these factors have caused school districts to include a rich social-emotional curriculum. What I found during the last few years of my teaching career was that many children needed to learn basic interpersonal skills, such as looking at the person with whom they are conversing, using nice manners, taking turns, sharing, having patience, and using appropriate greetings, just to name a few. Healthy human beings have a great need to create and sustain healthy, quality relationships, which include positive family relationships. Think about this for a moment. When many of us were young, we had a traditional telephone in our homes. When it rang, we would answer it by saying hello and introducing ourselves. In this and in other life situations, we would practice having and using good manners. We would have meals together and ask politely to pass the food or to be excused from the table. Sadly, technology and the lifestyle of the 21st century have stunted the practice of daily human interactions, thus having a negative impact on our children's ability to grow emotionally. There is a need for children to be more in touch with and understanding of their feelings and the feelings of others. This is the inspiration for this series of books. This series on feelings invites an opportunity for parents, caretakers, and educators to engage in helpful conversations that will support the growth and emotional social well-being of our children. At the end of each book, talking points to help inspire deeper conversations can be included, as well as teaching strategies so children can learn to thrive emotionally and socially. An example is included in the book titled Showing Off. These books will help our children learn to express their feelings appropriately so they will evolve in our ever-changing world. All of the nonfiction books in this series contain simple but necessary learning lessons that will last a lifetime. Olivia and I hope you will enjoy reading and discussing these books and that your family and or classroom environments will benefit from the life lessons they deliver. Feelings and their consequences. I believe that there are only two emotions. They are fear and love. The following is an example of how Olivia, my 5-year-old granddaughter, and I discuss our feelings. Olivia, all negative emotions, those feelings that make us feel bad, come from fear. They can paralyze us, meaning they can stop us from being able to take actions and respond to them correctly. That's why by sharing and discussing our feelings through these books, we can express these feelings in a way that we can learn and benefit from them. If we are able to express and process these feelings appropriately, then they are not negative. They are merely opportunities to have learning lessons. On the other hand, what we consider positive emotions come from love. and they help us to expand and inspire us to become more than we ever thought we were capable of being. Olivia, I want to share some observations with you about feelings and how they can affect us and impact our actions. Okay, Min Min, that's great, because I also want to discuss what I notice about my feelings. Okay, and now for anger. Anger, the feeling of having rage or hostility, being very mad. Dedication. This book is dedicated to all the children who are full of wonder and their parents and teachers who practice and inspire humanity daily. Olivia, your mama told me you got very angry yesterday when she told you you needed to eat your dinner before you could have dessert. Yes, it's true. I started screaming and throwing my toys. Afterwards, I felt ashamed and embarrassed. Well, what I've noticed is that sometimes we just need to release our strong feelings, and we don't really know why we have them. For example, I know that you know you can't have dessert before dinner, but last night, even though you knew that, it caused you to scream and throw your toys. Yes, Min Min, that's right. That is why I think you just needed to get your meanies out. Sometimes we can't help but have uncomfortable feelings. What we need to do is learn how to deal with that and express these feelings. The next time you are upset, why not try this? Go into your room and hit your pillow. This should help you feel better because you will be expressing these feelings in a safe way. Another thing you can do is pretend to throw all of your mad feelings into a cooking pot and then scream into that pot after you do that. This will also make you feel better. In other words, what I am suggesting is that when you are feeling angry, you need to get your feelings out in the healthiest, safest, and best way possible. Learning how to express yourself is a very important skill that will help you have a happy and healthy life. Okay, and the talking points for this book are: define the word anger. Ask, is it okay to feel angry? And name some strategies we can use to release our angry feelings in a healthy way. All right, so thank you for sharing this book with me. I was able to read this to my class, so we started back with hybrid learning, and my class of pre-K students right now, you know, it's been a little difficult because they aren't able to really socialize like they typically would, and they have to remain 6 feet apart, keeping masks on. They rotate through toys so that they're not all playing with the same toys at the same time, and we have a system to clean toys before it goes to the next. So things are really different, and it can be challenging for these children who just don't understand why they can't play with their friends. And so I thought this book would be a really great book to read because I noticed that some children were expressing some anger over not being able to have a toy that somebody else has, or not being able to share things and not being able to get close to each other to even play. So when I read this book, they were all seated at their desks and I read it. And then afterwards, we talked about what angry looks like, we talked about what it feels like, and I was able to go around the room and use that third talking point of naming strategies that we can use to release our angry feelings. And so the children went around and we had this beautiful conversation. Each child shared what they do when they feel angry. Some kids repeated things that were in the book because that was what they just heard and they wanted to try it, while other students were able to say, well, when I get angry, I cry. Or when I get angry, I go to my room. And we were able to talk about that and normalize that feeling of angry and normalize, you know, that it's okay to feel angry. We just have to learn how to express it in safe ways. I also was able to use this book to address a situation that had happened in the classroom. So I had two students, and one student was playing in the little section of our room that's meant for cars. And so only one student can go to the section at a time, and I had another student who wanted to play with the cars. And so when he asked, the other boy told him, it's my turn, you have to wait. And the first child got really angry and he got upset and he tried to take the cars anyway and he got really upset and started crying and yelling. And so we were able to have a conversation about that moment with the two students. We were able to talk about other strategies that we could use instead of throwing or grabbing or crying, ways that we could turn that negative feeling into a more positive feeling. And it was a really great conversation, and I felt that it was really helpful for both of the students in understanding why one student was feeling angry, but also helping the other student understand why he was acting the way that he was. Because sometimes it's hard to understand other people's anger when you feel happy or you feel content.
You know, there's a lot that I want to say to that, Christina. First of all, I think one thing we need to do with children is we need to help them note and mark how they're feeling. Sometimes we don't know what to call it. You know, even I will get out of bed sometimes and I'm just cranky, or I'm just a little grumpy, and I'm a grown-up and I have been here for a long time. So of course we need to help our children learn to say, you're looking and you're acting like you're angry. And also to have the compassion, why wouldn't they be angry? It's not natural to not be able to touch your friend. That's what school's about. It's a preschool especially, lots of social interaction. And I know, by having the good fortune of you being my student teacher, I know that you have a lot of skill and a lot of strategies yourself in, you know, having children learn how to cope with what is seemingly negative feelings and turn them around and provide them with learning lessons. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you if you can tell me a strategy that you use that is not in the book, because it could be anything. You know, there's a lot of different ways in which we can help our children learn how to express their anger in positive ways. But what I wanted to say was, the other day I got an email from a person who was listening to one of the podcasts, and it was a very good question. And the mom said, you know, I feel like all I do is talk to my child. Is there ever a time when you just stop talking? And so I want to say something about that. When I was a teacher, there's something in teaching where you can do a lot of new instruction and a little practice, or you could do a little instruction and a lot of guided practice. So I think too much talk can be not useful, because then they just tune you out, you know? So I think it was a really valid question. But I also think that if, let's say, you have a child who is prone to be angry, because not every child, that's not the case for every child, but some children just express negative feelings in an angry way. If you have a child who's prone to that, then I think the topic of anger can be discussed a lot. And you can practice what it looks like to turn that aggressive, angry behavior in a positive way. So when the child is not angry, and you're at the dinner table, you can say, wow, today I noticed that you didn't have any explosive behaviors. I'm so glad. You know, and I noticed also that when you start to get upset, you count to 10. Or I noticed that, you know, you've been using that throw pillow, your punching pillow, and that seems to really help you. And then just let the child talk. Let the child, after you set the stage for their success, let them reflect about how, in fact, yeah, you know, that throw pillow is really helping me, and it's making me like not want to fight with my brother or sister. You know, so it's more like you're discussing the topic, but you're not discussing it to the point where like you're killing a dead horse. It's more like the topic's on the table and you're revisiting it at different times. At times when there's no anger, which is when, you know, we could really have a discussion. And then at times you're going to just point out, wait, I saw you did this. You hit the pillow instead of screaming. Did you notice that you did that? Then the child's going to say, yes, I did notice that. So you're going to start reinforcing and really bringing attention to the child of how they are being strategic in how they're expressing themselves and also reflecting. So you're going to change from being the only person talking, to start having the child have the conversation. So I want to thank you for those questions, and I look forward to more questions, and I promise I will answer every question that comes my way. When you go to the website learnwithmeremotely.com, you can write a question and I'll respond with gratitude. So I wanted to ask you, Christina, about your strategies, because I know you did something with breathing that is really helpful. I'm sure the parents will be really happy to hear this. And I, once again, just want to reiterate, for me, the intention of these podcasts is to ease parents' burden and to partner with them in their children's education. I wanted to be contributing, and I want to be of service. And I know that you feel the same way, Christina. So,
absolutely. Thank you for that. And as you were talking, it actually made me think of a few different strategies. So I would love to share three strategies that I can think of just off the top of my head. One recent one that we have been doing in my classroom is called breathing hands or star hands. And you take a hand and you spread it out like a star. And then you take the pointer finger of your other hand and you start at the base of your thumb on the outside. And you just slowly bring your finger up your thumb. And as you're bringing your finger up your thumb, you're breathing in. Then you're slowly bringing your finger down the other side of your thumb, and that's an exhale. And you continue doing that for all five of your fingers on that hand, and you're breathing in and then breathing out and focusing on the breathing. And you can go slowly so that the breathing is slowing, which helps calm a child who might be feeling angry or anxious or even sad. You can use it for a lot of different feelings and emotions. And I find that students really like that. And I've even noticed some students sitting at their desk and doing it themselves while we're talking about things or doing things, whether it's from boredom or if they're feeling a certain way. And I wanted to touch on and go off of what you were saying by saying giving names to those feelings is so important, and it helps children really express how they're feeling. And it's not too early to start giving them those names when they're 2, 3, 4 years old. And it brings me back to last year, and I had a student who sometimes would get really upset, and he would sometimes have challenges keeping his body still. And we would talk about it, and we would have conversations, and I would put names to things for him. And with this student, I actually used what's called a calm down jar, and it was actually made for me by my goddaughter. And it's simply just an old water bottle that she filled with water, and I think she put some glitter in it and some crayon shavings, and then you just tighten the lid. If you want to put tape on it or glue on it so that it doesn't spill, you could do that as well. And so I had this little calm down jar, and this particular student, he would ask me for it, and he would say, I'm feeling upset, or I'm feeling angry, can I have my calm down jar? And eventually he knew exactly where it was, and he knew he could go to it and take it and sit with it, and you shake it up and just sit and watch as everything falls to the bottom. And just that little bit of time, having something to focus on, it's really beneficial for the children. And it doesn't have to be anything fancy. It doesn't have to be anything that you go to the store and spend a ton of money on. I mean, my calm down jar literally was made for me by my goddaughter in an after school program. And it's worked, and other students see it, and they get interested, and they want to know what it's for.
It makes me think that also, if you're out there and if you're using that strategy, you can have your child make it with you. So this is another way of, like, you know, trying to say, wow, this is a difficult time. It's hard having your children home all the time when you need to have other responsibilities, you know, when you're trying to work at home and do all the other things you need to do as parents. But it's also an invitation. And, you know, I really, I always say this on the podcast. I want to keep on saying it throughout every podcast, that this podcast is my intention is to really help the families. I don't want parents to feel more burdened. I want to lift up some burdens. And I want also parents to feel like they have every right to feel like, wow, this is overwhelming. It's really hard. So how can we take some time throughout a very full day to sort of at least have some really nice moments? And in a way, maybe that's an invitation, and maybe that's a gift for parents and children to be together in ways that maybe they wouldn't they wouldn't be forced to be together if there was the normal kind of school. So I hope that helps. I just wanted to say that because in a way, if they do a project together, that does mirror what happens with young children in school. They are doing a lot of projects, and it's not just, and you may not be able to do that. There might not be time, but if you're going to use something like that, that might be a nice way to, from the very beginning, because again, we are what we pay attention to, and we want to make sure that we are having our children pay attention to what we want them to pay attention to, so that's, because that's what they're going to be learning, right?
You absolutely know? and I know that it's so difficult right now to sometimes even find that 10-15 minutes, but if you are seeing that your child is feeling overwhelming emotions, you know, spending that 15 minutes to make a calm down jar in the long run could actually save you time, because as they get used to it and they go to it, now instead of that 10 minutes of arguing, they will might go right to that calm down jar, and it's going to save some of that time in the long run. Another strategy that I've utilized in the classroom is I was lucky enough to have a teacher in my school donate a beanbag chair, which I can't use this year, but for last year, I was able to use this beanbag chair, and I had a spot in my room, and I had another student who was prone to getting anger, and sometimes aggression would accompany his anger. And so we were able to use this beanbag chair as a strategy to help him. There was this small spot. It was away from everybody, so nobody else could see him. And myself or one of my assistants in my room, when he was feeling this way, we would allow him to go into this area and have that space to calm down. And there were some blocks there. And at the beginning, you know, he was feeling upset. He was feeling angry and had a lot of emotions. And he was able to use this space to let out those emotions in a safe way. And there was a teacher there with him. We would wait until he was calm and ready to talk. And we would remind him that we were there to help him. And just having that little bit of space, which can sometimes be hard to find. I know my classroom is not the biggest. It's a little bit of a weird shape, but we made it work and we found just that one spot. And he knew it was a safe place for him. And the other students learned and they adapted so quickly to know sometimes this child just needs that time and needs that space. And they left him alone to do what he had to do. And just having a space to calm down, or having that calm down jar, or just, you know, using your hands to do some deep breathing. It's really beneficial for these children. And I find that it's helpful for me too when I'm doing it with them. You know, sometimes, like you were saying before, we're grownups and we feel these emotions. And as a teacher, we can't let that anger show through. We have to try to stay calm and you know, we have to focus on putting a friendly twist to everything no matter how we're feeling, which can be really challenging, and we've been doing this for years. And so by teaching children how to regulate these emotions, it's only going to benefit them and you. And in regard to what you were saying before about the talking, one of my challenges when we're working virtually, because we're doing the hybrid model right now, is I feel when we're doing virtually, I'm talking the whole time. And I'm at the end of the day, I'm like, why am I so exhausted? And I realize it's because I'm not used to talking the whole day. Usually I am instructing, but then I like the children to share and letting the children talk. And you learn a lot. Even from four-year-olds, I learn every day from my students. And so I think it's wonderful, you know, to encourage children to talk, and giving them the vocabulary to really help them express themselves, I think is so important.
Well, I want to thank you so much. I find the same thing. Like, I did one podcast all by myself, and that felt so, you know, like doing the monologue, not preachy, because that's not my intention, but like not natural. So I love when you come and you visit and you're part of it, because the conversation is, it's authentic. We're not making it up. There's no script here. You know, we're just having a conversation and based on what you say, then I'll have a thought and then we'll be sharing. And that's what's going to inspire the listener. You can't, you know, it's not about making it up. So I do agree that, you know, the conversation is really important. Helping children find the right terminology. And in order for that to happen, parents have to have the right terminology. And parents, don't feel bad if you don't have it yet, because we've been doing this for a long time. I've been teaching for over 30 years. And even the most important things I have not learned through books. I've learned through experience. So, you know, you get better at it the more you do it. And the other thing I just want to say is, when you talked about this, the like spot to sort of chill, it's funny because I was having an issue with Olivia, my five-year-old granddaughter, and, you know, she knew she needed to, like, chill, so, like, she timed herself out, but she did it, like, with a sort of very, like, sulky, unfriendly face, and I said, Olivia, what are you doing? And she said, I'm timing myself out, and I said, well, you know, you look like you're angry when you're timed out, even though she timed herself out. And she said, yeah, I see it as a punishment. And I said, well, you know, I want you to look at it in another way. I see time out as time in, because you're really like, either an adult is saying it's time for you to chill. Why don't you, you know, sit down and think about it? Or at some point, even you're going to be able to say it, which I think is very sophisticated. But as adults help children find the words, children will know this is what they need. Anyway, so it's another book. I'm not really trying to promote my books, but why not? This was a good one. It was a very interesting way to think about it, that really when you're timed out, you're really taking a time to go in and think about your behaviors. So thank you so much, Christina. I hope you'll come again. And I love our sharing, and I hope the community at large finds our podcasts to be beneficial. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
That concludes the fourth episode in the podcast series, Teaching Humanity Remotely with Dr. Mindy Shaw. You can learn more about Dr. Shaw on her website, which is learnwithmeremotely.com. All of her books are there. The links to the podcast are there. Her philosophy and background and history. It's well worthwhile to check out that site. You can also find her Learn With Me Remotely page on Facebook. On Instagram, she's Dr. Mint Shaw. And on Twitter, she's Dr. Mindy Shaw 1. Thanks for joining us today. Watch out for the next podcast. Thanks.